Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there, everybody at Blog Talk Radio World. This is your friend, Vincent E. Brown, and this is my program, Black by Color Only, where color doesn't matter, but principles do. I hope you all are having a blessed new year here in 2010. I'm a little late getting to you all for the new year. I will have to say that I did my little holiday run in December, and It's kind of funny because, you know, let's just say I have a great admiration for people like Neil Bortz and Rush Limbaugh and all those other talk show hosts, Herman Cain, all those people, you know, because they find the time to do this. This is something that they do for a living. And I'm going to tell you, it's more than just getting on radio and just saying some words. I mean, it takes some preparation and everything. And I wasn't able to do my holiday run the way I wanted to. I did get a few of them out and everything. I did get a few of my shows out and everything. But before I get started, my guest call-in number is 347-857-3533 if you want to call in. That's 347-857-3533. Now, once again, I wish I could get a tutorial or something on how to do a radio show because I really want to dress everything up, clean everything up and everything, and really want to be more of a regular and everything. I guess I've got to get the premium package on Blog Talk Radio. You know, right now I'm not able to afford that, but I would like to, you know, be more of a regular and everything because, you know, I like to run my mouth. I like to talk a lot and everything. But I wanted to do this show today about something that happened this week that was very controversial, and I just want to put my two cents in about what happened this week. Okay, tragically, we had a major disaster to hit in the Caribbean in the country of Haiti, and 7.0 earthquake, 7.0 on the Richter scale. And when I first heard that Haiti had gotten hit by a 7.0 earthquake, I was like, oh my goodness, not Haiti. Because, you know, I know how poor Haiti is. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. I believe it is. In the Western Hemisphere, there's no country that's poorer than Haiti. And when I heard they got hit by a 7.0 earthquake, I said, oh my goodness. I said, this is going to be a disaster. And sure enough, it turned out to be a major disaster. I didn't know Haiti's population was as high as it was, and I saw the pictures of the people milling in the streets and everything. I didn't know Haiti was that crowded. You know, forgive me for my ignorance. You know, but I was watching the destruction there, the UN building, one of the cathedrals. I mean, I think the presidential palace suffered some damage, and the destruction there just, I mean, I knew it would be a disaster, but I did not know it would be on that grand a scale. And not to the tune of 50,000 lives like they're projecting right now. You know, and I would tell anybody, you know, whatever you do, if you are a Christian or whatever your personal prayer, please pray for the people in Haiti. Okay? They need your help. Any way you can help those people, please help them out. Okay? But I wanted to focus on comments by two people who are always controversial, made by two people this week. Of course, the first one I heard of was by Pat Robertson. And Pat Robertson is no stranger to controversy. You know, he has made some statements in the past about certain things. And, you know, I haven't always agreed with them. Some of the things I think people take out of context, you know. And this week he made a statement about Haiti. You know, people were saying that Pat Robertson made these statements saying that Haiti suffered the earthquake because they made a deal with the devil. Now, that is not true. Pat Robertson did not say that. I've seen the clip. He did not say they have suffered this earthquake because they made a deal with the devil. He has said that historically it has been a cursed country because of what they practiced there, which is voodoo, and voodoo is of the devil. Now, if you're not a Christian and everything, and you don't believe in the devil, of course, this is going to go above your head. But me, as a Christian, I know voodoo to be of the devil. Okay. Now, I say all that to say this, you know, no matter what, you know, as far as the United States, we are a compassionate country, and we should help them out. Because I believe that's what Jesus would have done. Okay. Jesus wouldn't condone their activities, but he would help them out. I really do believe that. And the thing that is lost in all this, all people are focusing on is Pat Robertson's statements. But they don't realize, of course they don't tell you that Pat Robertson has sent millions of dollars of aid to Haiti already. Of course they get lost on that. Now when I first heard that Pat Robertson had made these comments, I was like, oh, no, Pat, please, please, don't do this. Don't do this. And so, you know, I got on the Internet, and I pulled it up and everything, and I saw what he was saying. And he was saying it as an aside, like, you know, and basically what he was saying was the truth. You know, and people get all blown out. They blew his comments out of proportion. In my book, in my opinion, they blew it out of proportion. Now, I'm not Pat Robertson's right-hand man. I'm not his main man. I'm not a Pat Robertson fan or anything like that. I do watch his show from time to time, and I like what he says on his show and things of that sort. But, you know, I think I'm going to have to be on Pat Robertson's side this time because I think his statements were blown way out of proportion. You know, now, I don't agree with everything that Pat Robertson has said in the past. Like, you know, when he said we should send some people to assassinate Hugo Chavez, you know, I was like, Pat, you know, I think he may have pushed it too far right there, you know. But what he said about Haiti, he was just giving you a historical fact. He was not saying that the earthquake was caused by the wrath of God. He did not say that. And besides, he is sending aid down there to them. He is helping with the aid, sending millions of dollars of aid to the Haitians. Of course, that gets lost because everybody wants to paint Pat Robertson as a racist Christian bigot. Now, Pat Robertson is human. From time to time, he's going to say things that are going to be controversial because he is human. I do not worship Pat Robertson. I worship Jesus. Pat Robertson is not God. So from time to time, he's going to say things that are going to be controversial. Now, let me go on to the other one, Rush Limbaugh. And Rush Limbaugh, every chance I get, I listen to his radio program. I like what he has to say and everything. And now everyone thinks Rush Limbaugh is a bigot. You know, if you even say you listen to Rush Limbaugh's program, people paint you as a bigot. You know, I know people painted me as a bigot because I say I like Rush Limbaugh. But First of all, when you call in the Rush Limbaugh show, he has a man, a call screener named Bo Snurley. He's about as black as you can get. But, of course, that's lost on a lot of people, you know. Of course, you know, when you don't call into a show, you don't know the name of a show or what station it comes on, you know, it's easy to paint Rush Limbaugh as a bigot when you don't know all that, you know. But Rush Limbaugh made some statements, and he said, well, basically, you know, I can't pull it up right now, but basically he was saying that Obama's trying to get some Browning points with people in Haiti. You know, hey, you can take that to mean whatever you want it to mean. You know, he could be right. He might not be, you know. But why is it, it is so strange. It is so strange to me why certain people can make statements and they get blown out of proportion, but other people can make statements that run along those same lines and they say, no, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. Okay, I'll give you a good example. Harry Reid in 2008. And I was talking about this just last week, you know, when he made the statement about Barack Obama being a light-skinned person and, you know, that he doesn't have a Negro accent, you know, and so, and those comments drew some fire, and, but the mainstream media was like, nah, that's not what he, you know, come on, y'all, that was in 2008, you know, he said that, you know, and I made the statement, I said, now, let that have been Rush Limbaugh or Pat Robertson or any of these conservative people make that same statement, and you would have heard, oh, they are so racist. Why did they say that? They're just bigots and everything like that. Now, I'm not trying to condone what Pat Robertson and Rush Limbaugh said. First of all, we are entitled to our opinions. And you know, we live in a country where there is freedom of speech. Now, if you're going to allow one person's statements to, you know, just slide by, then why not let another person? But see, there's a bias in this country against anyone who is conservative, Republican, or Christian. And if you make the least little controversial sounding statement, they jump on it. They dice it up, cut it up, put it on the culture. Put a slide on it. Slide it up under the microscope. Examine it. Boom, boom, boom. Look at what he said. You hear what he said? You hear what he said? Now, what Pat Robertson said should not have drawn as much ire out of the American people as it has this week. Of course, his statements were controversial. I believe he was telling the truth because Haiti is steeped in voodoo, and voodoo is a religion of the devil. Oh, you talking that devil junk. You talking that devil junk. Yes. Voodoo is steeped in witchcraft, and it is of the devil. Well, that's their religion. That's their religion. Go to any country that is run, or community, or anything that is run by voodoo, by the religion of voodoo, and tell me how you see those people living. Voodoo couldn't even help the country prosper. Couldn't help the country prosper. You know, and of course some people will say, well, you know, they have Roman Catholics down there. And well, the thing about Roman Catholics now, and I can say this because I used to be one. I went through the confirmation and the first communion and the confessionals and everything. Roman Catholicism, and I might offend a lot of people when I say this, Roman Catholicism is not based on Christianity. Just compare Roman Catholic doctrine with the Bible, and you will see that they are mutually exclusive. Yeah, they talk about Jesus. They do the Christmas and the Easter and everything and stuff like that. But it's the other things in Catholicism that wears that Christianity down. The doctrine of purgatory, the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, things of that sort. That's not Christian, people. It's not Christian. But you have these two religions that run Haiti that are basically, you know, these are the two main religions in Haiti. Now, I'm not saying that God sent the earthquake and say, okay, I'm tired of these people, you know, I'm going to send the earthquake and, you know, I'm going to kill off all these people. I'm not saying that. I'm not going to say that. You know. And why are we so concerned about what Rush Limbaugh and Pat Robertson said. Anyway, okay, now, a lot of you all out there will say they're just a bunch of kooks and everything. Well, if they are a bunch of kooks, then why are you trying to harp on what they said this week? Why don't you just ignore them and go ahead and help the people of Haiti instead of trying to focus on what Pat Robertson said? And while you're sitting there talking about what Pat Robertson said, he's done already sent millions of dollars of aid to Haiti, and you're sitting there harping on what he's saying. He sent millions of dollars down there. He sent aid to Haiti. Because that's the Christian thing to do. Yeah, these people aren't Christian, but I'm going to help them anyway. That's what he's done. That's basically, to sum it all up, that's basically what he's saying. To sum it all up. And we sit there and we vilify these people. But he's already sent the help. Have you sent any help down there? You just want to, oh, that Pat Robertson. Oh, that Rush Limbaugh. And if they're such the kooks that we call them to be, then why do they have the country in such an uproar? But, of course, they can't make no controversial statements, but other people can. If you're a liberal, Democrat, whatever, atheist or whatever, you can say whatever you want to, and people, oh, okay, yeah. But let Rush Limbaugh say something. Like what he said back in 2004 about Donovan McNabb. Oh, he's a racist. He's a racist. He's a racist. You hear what he said about Donovan McNabb? And what he said about Donovan McNabb turned out to be true. He's a racist. He's a racist. But a woman can say something about Clarence Thomas, saying that she hoped that he eats a lot of butter and eggs and grease. Hopes his wife feeds him a lot of butter and eggs and grease and that he dies of heart disease like a lot of black people do. But how many of y'all ever heard that statement? Very few of you. You know why? Because the media didn't see, they ain't news. She really didn't mean that. But let Rush Limbaugh say that about Jesse Jackson, so to speak. Oh, my goodness. Rush Limbaugh is a bigot. He's a racist. Oh, my goodness. Bent out of shape. Someone like Roger Clinton, who is Bill Clinton's brother, can make a statement and say, he had the nigga down. How come that doesn't get reported in the news? But let Sean Hannity say something like that. Man, I had that nigga down. Oh, my goodness. We would go crazy. Sean Hannity is a bigot. Ann Coulter is a bigot. Rush Limbaugh is a bigot. It's a double standard, people. We have a double standard in this country where certain people, where a certain group of people, they can say whatever they want to and they can get away with it, but other people, we gotta examine it with a fine-tooth comb. And it's all a smear campaign by the mainstream media and those on the left, because the mainstream media and the people on the left, they go hand in hand, whether you want to believe it or not. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's the truth. They go hand in hand. It's a smear campaign to make everybody else look like racist and make it look like, oh, we're the compassionate people. And they're not. Now, like I said, I am not a Pat Robertson fan. I'm not a Rush Limbaugh fan. I listen to these people. I watch them and everything. And they're human. They're going to say things that are going to raise controversy and everything, but so does everybody else. And they're no different than anyone else. They are human. And like I said, Pat Robertson has said some things in the past that I don't agree with. But I don't beat him over the head and call him a racist because I disagree with what he said. And, you know, they can say whatever, you know, hey, it makes me no difference. But it's like, if you are conservative or Christian or Republican, if you say anything controversial, say it in hushed tones. Say it in the corner somewhere. Go to a dark corner somewhere and make your statements where we can't hear you. But if you're a liberal, say it loud. Say it proud. This is what I think. Yeah, all right. And then when people come up and say, well, what about what he said? Oh no, he didn't really mean that. You know, y'all just trying to vilify him. Y'all just trying to vilify him. Well, that's the same thing y'all doing to Rush Limbaugh and Pat Robertson. No, I am not a conservative. I am not a Republican. I am a born again Christian. I tend to lean towards the conservative side because much of what conservatism talks about follows along the lines of Christianity. But I don't consider myself a conservative per se. I'm a born-again Christian, a free-thinking black man. And I'm going to expose the truth on the blacks, I'm going to expose the truth on the conservative side as well as the liberal side. If somebody in the Republican say something that I don't agree with, I'm going to expose it. Someone on the liberals say the same thing, I'm going to expose it. But the problem is there's a smear campaign against people who are conservative and Christian in this country, made to look like bigots. We are made to look like bigots. Christians are these people who want to force their religion on everybody else, which is not true. Christians are these people who want to turn the United States of America into a theocracy. That is not true, because if a person is calling themselves a Christian and they are trying to force somebody to believe like they do, that person has abandoned Christianity. That is not Christian. Jesus didn't do it. The apostles didn't do it. Jesus said, if you talk to somebody and they don't want to hear it, shake the dust off your feet and go to somebody else who does. That's Christianity, people. And the historical perspective of Christianity has been tainted because of the Roman Catholic Church. Today, people see, when you think of a Christian, people think of a priest with a big old cross around his neck, backward turn collar, going around making a sign of the cross. That's not Christianity, people. And I know I'm offending some people when I say that. I know this because I used to be a Catholic, and I can say this. But that is not Christianity, people. The Roman Catholic Church, if you did not agree with their doctrine back in the day, you were put through unimaginable torture. And because the Catholic Church did it in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, a lot of people say, oh, they were Christian. You see what those Christians did? You see what those Christians did? That's not Christian, people. Read your Bible. Of course, some of you all don't believe the Bible. Y'all say it's a book of fairy tales and all that and everything, which if it is a book of fairy tales, then we have about 4,000 years of human history that we need to explain. We got a hole in history somewhere that we need to explain. A lot of people don't want to believe the Bible, and any little thing that a Christian does, they try to smear it, blow it out of proportion, and make it more than what it is. We have to follow true Christianity, not this denominationalism, not this, you know, the denominations and different religions and everything. That's not Christianity. Because the Bible said it's Christ divided. I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you all speak the same thing. That's Christianity. There is no such thing as a truth. It's always the truth. What is true right here in my bedroom in Durham, North Carolina, is true in St. Petersburg, Russia. Truths don't change. And there's no such thing as truce. You know, truce. my trying to get my words out and everything. You don't have a different truth, and I have a different truth. Somebody is lying, or both of us are. There is the truth. Nobody has a monopoly on the truth. And that is my qualm. That is my thing with Roman Catholicism, because they seem to hold this monopoly on the truth. We are the Christian church. And because they call themselves a Christian church, and people view them as a Christian church, anything that the Catholic Church that does, anything that they do that is controversial, the Christian community as a whole gets blamed for it. The Catholic Church is not a Christian organization. I'm sorry, if that offends anybody, it is not a Christian organization. Take the doctrine of the Catholic Church and match it up to the doctrines of the Bible, and you will see they are mutually exclusive. Where in the Bible does it talk about the Immaculate Conception? Where in the Bible does it talk about nuns, or popes, or cardinals, or the priesthood as it is viewed in the Catholic Church? Where does it say that a person is closer to God because they abstain from sex, or abstain from being married? Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about that. That is something that man came up, not what God came up. And a lot of us, we don't read the Bible. We call it a book of fairy tales. And any little thing anyone tells us, we believe it. This is a book of fairy tales. It's a book of fairy tales. Well, have you read it? Well, yeah, I read it. Well, you read it. Have you read it from cover to cover? You've done a thorough examination of it? No. Then you haven't read it. Reading a couple of scriptures out of the Bible is not reading the Bible. And unlike my black brothers out there, I don't see Christianity as the white man's religion. Show me in the Bible where it says that the Bible is white man's religion. It's nowhere in there. The Bible is open. Christianity is open to all races. I don't believe it being the white man's religion, that it was forced on the black people when they left Africa and all that crazy mess. Matter of fact, on the contrary, the slave masters, one of the main things they did not want their slaves to do was to learn how to read. Because if they got a hold of that Bible, they would apply its precepts and slavery would be over. But guess what? Some of them did learn to read. Some of them got a hold to that Bible. And because they got a hold to that Bible and they applied the principle of freedom as explained in the Bible, slavery disappeared. Now, a lot of people sit there and say, oh, you Christian, y'all say y'all ended slavery. Okay, well, where were the black Muslims back then? The Rastafarians, all these black people that did it. Today, always talking about, you know, Christianity, white man, religion, and all that crazy mess. Where were y'all back then? Nowhere. And then y'all make up some lie about the Jews, you know, the Jews owned 75% of the slaves when at that time the Jews were less than 1% of the U.S. population. Hello? That's history, people. I know people, you know, they got their little thing, but a lot of the beliefs that people have in the world today is because they don't study. They don't study, they don't read, they don't research, and that's why they have this biased way of thinking. And it's a lot of people out there who can't stand Rush Limbaugh. They think if you listen to Rush Limbaugh, you are prejudiced. You are this, you are that, because Rush Limbaugh is prejudiced. He hates black people and all that and everything. But I guarantee you, most of the people who say that They don't even know the name of Rush Limbaugh's program. They don't know where to find it on their radio. They don't know what station to turn to on their radio to find it. But they know so much about Rush Limbaugh that he is a bigot. He hates black people. Now, you think that because you're hearing little bits and pieces of his show posted on ABC News, and you see that, oh, yeah, Rush Limbaugh, he's a bigot. But you never even studied and dug into Rush Limbaugh. Now, I've been listening to him since October 1995, and I ain't heard anything that he said that was racist. And you know what? When you say you listen to Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, or Ann Coulter, or any of those, all of a sudden, you're a sellout. You're trying to be white. Look at him, Mr. Whitey. You're Uncle Tom. I mean, that stuff is funny. It don't offend me. It really doesn't. It just tells me your ignorance. I find it amusing because it just shows me people's ignorance. When you call me an Uncle Tom, and black people like to use that term today to refer to a black person who doesn't hold to certain ideals of the black race. When you call me an Uncle Tom, right there, that just shows me your ignorance right there. Have you ever read Uncle Tom's Cabin? Have you even read it? I tell you what. Go to Amazon or any of these other places that sell books and everything, or go to a used bookshop or whatever, and buy the book, Uncle Tom's Cabin. And when you read Uncle Tom's Cabin, I want you to focus on the character of Uncle Tom. I mean, really focus in on Uncle Tom. And tell me, was he a traitor? Now, I'll just go ahead and tell you, he was not a traitor. Uncle Tom refused to give a slave master the whereabouts of two escaped slaves, and he was beaten and killed because of it. That sound like a traitor to you? That sound like a hero to me. So when people call me Uncle Tom, I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you. That's a compliment. That's why I don't get offended when people call me an Uncle Tom. I know they're using it to insult and everything and stuff like that, but it just shows their ignorance when they call you an Uncle Tom right then and there. That just tells you, these people, when they call you Uncle Tom, sellout and all that, they don't know what they're talking about. They're just parroting what somebody else poisoned their minds with. That's all they're doing. And they don't dig in. They don't research. They don't read. They don't go to their local library. They don't order books. They don't do anything. But they just listen to these so-called teachers with so much wisdom. I like to listen to this brother because he got some wisdom. Man, look. Wisdom? You ain't even tried to research what he's even talking about. You sitting there listening to him. Yeah. That's deep. That's deep. Yeah, that's why you drown. So deep you ain't know how to swim and you drown. Man, that's deep. Man, he said a lot of things that got me to thinking. Yeah. I can smell the smoke from here. Yes, you're thinking too hard. But we need to research. We need to study. Read something. And not just something that these leaders give you, say, yeah, read this book. Read this book. This will change your mind. And they tell me, you know, a few months ago, I was on this, someone from this radio program called Hood to Hood came on my program, you know, and they said some things, you know. First of all, the man on Hood to Hood, Big Mo, called me a nigga. And he called one of my callers a cracker. I said, now, if that cracker had called you a nigger, you would have gone ballistic. You would have gone atomic bomb, nuclear fusion on the rascal. And he said I was a stupid nigger. Because, simply, it wasn't because I was saying any nonsense. It was simply because I didn't agree with his philosophy. He he'll know me from Job's poor turkey. But he called me a stupid nigga. I thought it was funny. I really did. I didn't get offended. Man, what about this? What about that? What about this? And he doing that blah, blah, blah. I'm not your brother. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you ain't my brother. So don't drop this brother thing. If you're black, you're a brother. Nah, you ain't my brother. I just as accept a white man being my brother than some black man talking a bunch of nonsense. And they're going around poisoning the minds of our young people. That's why our young people are so angry today. They got that little look on their face. Walking around, yo, peace. Peace. You don't look like you at peace with me. What old ugly look on your face. Don't smile. Walking around like you got a chip on your shoulder. You don't look like you at peace with me. Yeah, word, yeah. Peace to the brothers. Well, smile, rascal. Show me some teeth. You got to look all serious all the time. My gosh. I tell you what, let me put some sugar in your lemon juice. My gosh, looks like you drink too much lemon juice. Yeah, here's some sugar, sweeten it up. Yeah, my goodness. And these people are poisoning the minds of our young people. And they're trotting out a bunch of young people who really don't know anything. And I've had these people tell me, read up on some history. I've read up on history. And you know what? History paints a different picture than the way you did, than the way you do. We talk about Republicans are racist and Democrats are compassionate. Democrats launched the KKK. Oh, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Democrats started the Ku Klux Klan. Ku Klux Klan is probably the first terrorist group that was born in the United States. The Ku Klux Klan was formed by the Democratic Party to be a terrorist group against white Republicans and those who supported them. And because you were black back in the day in the 1800s, early 1900s, you suffered the wrath of the KKK as well, because when you were black in this country, not long after the days of slavery, during the Reformation and all that, if you were black, you were Republican. Frederick Douglass read the Constitution. And he came to the conclusion, he said, wait a minute, this document isn't oppressive against black people. He said, this document is open to everybody. But of course, when Woodrow Wilson, it started with Andrew Jackson. We had civil rights back in the 1800s, in the 1860s and 1870s. Seven black men served in Congress in the 1870s. Andrew Jackson came on the scene. He did away with all the civil rights laws. Helped out by Woodrow Wilson some years later. That's history, people. Okay, let me give you something a little bit more recent. Dwight Eisenhower. General Eisenhower led the troops in World War II. He was a Republican. Guess what he did? He commissioned U.S. troops to escort black people into white high schools so they could integrate in the South. He was a Republican man, Republican president. Hello? Well, you know, yesterday's Republicans are today's Democrats. That's the biggest bunch of bull I ever heard in my life. When did they switch? Tell me. When did they switch?
Well, you know, Jesse Helms, he used to be a Democrat, and he switched over to the Republicans.
Well, maybe he switched over to the Republicans because maybe his ideals changed. And he said, well, with these ideals, I can't be a Democrat anymore. Let me go on over to the Republicans. And I'd like to know when these roles changed, because as recent as 1985, Ronald Reagan signed a bill that made Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday an official holiday. Ronald Reagan about as Republican as you can get. Nobody mentions that. And this was back in 1985. I was in high school then, people. I was a senior in high school. Ronald Reagan signed the bill. Of course, yesterday was Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, but we recognize the third Monday in every January as a holiday commemorating what he did. And I admire, he is one of my most admired historical figures. Of course, my top admired historical figure is George Washington Carver. I mean, that story about George Washington Carver is just incredible. If you don't know anything about George Washington Carver, I guarantee get you a book about George Washington Carver and read about him, and you will find yourself flooded with admiration for what he did. So people, tell me, when did the roles of the Republicans switch with the Democrats? Arlen Specter. For a long time, he was a Republican. But when he spoke, he didn't sound like a Republican. So you know what he did? He went to the Democrat Party because his ideals changed. He didn't take what was in the Republican Party and bring it to the Democrats. The same way that Jesse Helms didn't take what was in the Democrats and bring it to the Republicans. His ideals changed, people. And because Jesse Helms back in the day, he may have been racist. I haven't really dug into his story and everything. He may have been racist, but does that mean that he will never change his mind about being racist? He might have been like, hey, wait a minute, I'm a racist. I don't want to be viewed as a racist. I want to start loving the black people. Maybe he did that. Nobody ever thinks that a person can change their mind. And maybe because it was that mind change why he left the Democrat Party and went to the Republicans. But when I mention this to people, they always say, when I mention the history of the Democrats and the Republicans, people always say, well, yesterday's Democrats are today's Republicans. And they use that as a way of escape because they cannot explain the information that you hit them with. They have no answers, so they just bring up that talking point, hey, yesterday's Democrats are today's Republicans. And we talk about Bill Clinton being the first black president and all that and everything. When George Bush, who people are still vilifying to this day and blaming him for things that are going on today, George Bush had two black people in the position of Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell, and people try to vilify them too. Because, Condi Rice, she was token. She licked the master's boots. That's why she got so high. She licked the master's boots. And the NAACP gave her, an image award or something like that. I have nothing against her accepting it, but if I was her, I probably would have told them where they could put that image award because they did not like her. Most of the people in the NAACP did not like Condi Rice for the simple fact that she was a Republican. But, I listen to these people talk, and it's a double speak going on. If you're a Democrat, liberal, atheist, or whatever, you can say whatever you want to. Oh, you Christians, y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of boneheads. Hey, you can say all you want to against a Christian. But let a Christian say a man is of the devil. Oh, my goodness. Blow it out of him. What do you mean he's of the devil? What do you mean? Man, come on, y'all. Freedom of speech. And that freedom of speech, listen up, people. Freedom of speech has nothing to do with somebody getting offended by what you say. And see, that's what we're trying to make it. If someone gets offended by something you say, then we want to cut them off. We want to say that, they can't have freedom of speech because, they're offending people. And not only that, if you are a person who is a Republican or a conservative or a Christian and you say something that offends somebody who doesn't believe your views, you're the person that gets cut off. But someone can say something offensive to the Christians, you know, oh, nah, we just brushed that up under the rug, you know. That ain't nothing. That's why the homosexuals are trying to take this nation by storm. If you say anything against homosexuals, they want you punished. They want you fined. They want you to be put in prison. If you say something as simple as Jesus loves the homosexuals, you can turn from your homosexuality. Oh, my goodness. You're a bigot. You're gay bashing. You're this and you're that. But they can sit there and talk about the Christians and everything. And not only that, you know, they get mad when you call them fags and everything, but they'll turn around and call you a fag. Them same people. Sounds familiar. You know, that nigga word. We get offended when someone uses it against us, but we use it against everybody else, you know. We get mad. They get mad when you call them a faggot, but they'll call you a fag. Oh, look at him. He's a faggot. He's a queer. Wait a minute. If I called you that, you'd be calling ACLU on me. I don't like what he said about me. He called me a fag. Well, I'm sorry, fag. Oh, my gosh. I don't believe he said that. I thought he was a Christian. I am. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe he said that. I'm not a fag. Okay, sodomite. I mean, what name do you want? Going to take a name like gay and mess it up to the point where the word gay referring to a homosexual is a slang term. But gay is supposed to mean bright, colorful, something like that. But we've taken that word and we messed it up and we just totally polluted that word to the point that we say, oh, he has some gay looking clothing. We think they're talking about homosexuality, where the origin of that word had nothing to do with homosexuality. And my thing too, I'm sitting here looking at Wing Commander, you know, he talked about Senator Byrd and Al Gore Sr. They were racist. They were against the civil rights movement in the 1960s. They were Democrats. 1960s. I was born in 1968. That ain't too long ago, people. So when did the roles of the Republicans switch with the Democrats? Someone tell me. Tell me. Pretend I'm from Missouri and show me. Okay? Because you're not getting anywhere with me talking about this garbage that the Republicans switch with the Democrats. Show me in history. Show me when the change took place. And you will not see it. Yeah, excuse me. I paused a little bit. I'm just reading my chat room. And, you know, before I go on, I just want to welcome the people in my chat room. My goodness, I got quite a few in here today. Dark Prince. I hope I pronounced this right. Lorene K, Nico Moon, and Wing Commander. Wing Commander is back. He comes here every now and then. And I'd just like to welcome you all to the chat room. I have no problem with whether you agree with me or disagree with me. If you come to the chat room and everything, you know, don't do the little character assassinations and the cussing and everything. You know, that to me, that's childish. That's very childish and everything. You know, and you can debate and whatever. I have no problem with that. You know. But, you know, don't do the character assassinations and all that crazy mess. You know, I mean, that's crazy. You know, don't do that. You know. But basically what I was talking about, what I started the show out with, was the statements made by Rush Limbaugh and Pat Robertson, who, you know, these two figures must be walking on eggshells constantly, because it's almost like they have to be very careful what they say. Everybody else can say whatever, you know, Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and all them. Oh, they don't have to be careful what they say. But if you're Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, or Ann Coulter, or, excuse me, Vincent E. Brown, you got to walk around on eggshells. Be careful what you say, because some people might get offended. Well, my freedom of speech has nothing to do with you getting offended. I'm free to speak my mind. And we done corrupted that freedom of speech thing. We really corrupted it. You know, if you want to say homosexuality is wrong, oh, that's it, you know, you should be saying that. But a woman who wants to be a slut, take off all her doggone clothes, and have people take pictures of her and videos and everything, put it in a magazine or on the internet and everything, and when someone comes out speak against it, we say, oh, no, that's her freedom of speech. How is that a freedom of speech? Want to show herself in a magazine and on videos and everything. Having sex with a whole bunch of different men and all that, where our children can see it and everything. And we call that freedom of speech. But if I say homosexuality is wrong, oh, no, that's not freedom of speech. You need to be careful what you say, because some people get offended. I don't care if you get offended. I'm not going to coddle you. I'm not going to sit there, okay, well, you know, I don't want you to get offended, okay. You know, in Canada, it's punishable. You can spend up to 2 years in prison for speaking out against homosexuality. If you even read anything out of the Bible that shows you that homosexuality is a sin, they can arrest you and put you in prison for 2 years for speaking out against homosexuality. Now, someone tell me, how many years in prison do you get if you speak out against Christianity? How many years do you get? Oh, man, they probably throw a party for you, have a parade, have the confetti falling. Oh, yes, he's our savior. But say something like, homosexuality is a sin. The Bible says so. Oh, you're a terrorist. I have on YouTube, if anybody wants to go to YouTube, the name of my program is VibroTube. And, you know, I have a thing there. I did a little parody over there, a little terrorist thing. You know, and I got a video that says, if you might be a terrorist if, you know, and I do it along the lines of what Jeff Foxworthy did, you know, you might be a redneck if. So I decided, you know, do a play on words, say you might be a terrorist if, you know, and you can go there and look at the list or see what I'm talking about. I think it's kind of funny, and I don't say it because it comes out of me, you know, but it's kind of funny. I got my little terror list right there. If you say Jesus loves you, you might be a terrorist. If you read your Bible, you might be a terrorist. If you did not vote for Barack Obama, you might be a terrorist. If you even use the word terrorist, you might be a terrorist. You know, they don't want to use that word terrorist anymore. You know, man-made circumstance and all that. We don't call them terrorists anymore. That's what they are, terrorists. What they are, a bunch of terrorists. Oh, we shouldn't call them terrorists. That's what they are. Go around killing innocent people because they don't believe the way you do. That's terrorism, people. Well, the reason why they are doing that is because of the U.S.'s support for Israel. The Roswell, man, look, let me tell you something. They were against us before Israel became a nation again. Back when this country was young, certain ships were being attacked. Certain American ships were being attacked by Muslim pirates. And Thomas Jefferson spoke to one of their leaders and said, why are you doing this? We haven't done anything to you. We haven't fired a shot at you. We haven't killed anybody. And why are you doing this to us? And the leader said, well, because you all don't believe like we do. This is history, people. This is not something I'm making up. Y'all don't believe like we do. And since you don't believe like we do, we consider you sinners. And if you are sinners, then you need to be killed. And see, that's the problem with Muslims. Convert or die. Sounds like another religion I was talking about. I forget, it goes over my head, you know. Sounds like another religion, but anyway, but that's what the Muslims are about. The word Islam means submission. It does not mean peace. Either you convert to Islam or we kill you. And you go into any country that is Muslim run and show me how those people live. Show me the churches that are out in the open in a Muslim run country. In Saudi Arabia, who is considered to be a U.S. ally, in Saudi Arabia, it's illegal for a person to have a Bible. There are no churches in Saudi Arabia. It's illegal. And the reason why those 19 young men boarded those planes and flew them into buildings and killed thousands of people had nothing to do with our support for Israel. Had nothing to do with it. In the eyes of the Muslim world, the United States is known as the Great Satan. And it had nothing to do with our support for Israel. Because let me tell you, people, Israel can take care of things on its own. Just ask the Muslims that fought against them in the Six Days War. Ask them that. Country no bigger than New Jersey, I think. No bigger than New Jersey. Millions of Muslims came up against them, and they totally annihilated them. One of the jet fighters that is renowned today is known as the F-15 Eagle. It's one of my favorite jet fighters. Reason why it has such a good reputation, because the Israelis took that jet fighter and they squeezed every little bit of performance out of that jet fighter. They smoked 59 of the most sophisticated Soviet fighters without losing a single one. The F-15 Eagle is undefeated in combat. When it came to dogfighting, nothing was better than an F-15 Eagle with a Jew as its pilot. History, people. History! History, not his story, history. That's why the F-15 Eagle is such a renowned fighter today, because of Israel. It has nothing to do with the United States support of Israel. And y'all, they can throw that mess. They can talk till they're blue in the face. Those men who boarded those planes, they had a set purpose to kill innocent people who had nothing to do with what was going on in the Middle East. Had nothing to do with it. People got killed for no reason. They murdered those people. And we're sitting there like, oh, we caused this. We have oppressed their country. We got bases in their country. Well, we wouldn't have bases in their country if they didn't stop. We wouldn't have bases in their country if they stopped that foolishness. And you know what I say about this war on terrorism? I say we go over there and wipe folks out. Do like we did the Japanese. Wipe folks out. Wipe them out. Wipe them out. Give them a show. Show them a show of force that the United States is not going to take this. Not this little mamby-pamby thing we're doing. I say go there and wipe them out. Well, civilians are getting killed. Civilians get killed in every war. That's the cost of war, people. Civilians got killed in World War I. Civilians got killed in World War II. Civilians got killed in the Vietnam War. Every war that we've had, civilians got killed. Civilians got killed in the Revolutionary War. Civilians got killed in the Civil War, which I don't call it the Civil War. It's the war between the states. Civilians got killed and get killed in every war, people. Bush lied. Children died. Bush lied. Children died. Bush is a terrorist. It was funny to me because one time Bush went to the Philippines. I think it was Indonesia, which is the largest Muslim country on the face of the earth. And these people are protesting Bush, talking about Bush is a terrorist. I said, that's funny. Your country is full of terrorists, and you're going to call Bush a terrorist. And Bush didn't terrorize no one. Bush is not a war criminal. He didn't come in and say, okay, I'm just going to wantonly kill men, women, and children for no reason at all. The reason why Bush started the war on terror was because these terrorists, they had gone too far. They have malicious motives on their brain. When they came into this country, slipped into this country, got pilot's licenses for the mere purpose of killing innocent men, women, and children. Now, you all can't deny that. You can sit there and argue that garbage all the way until the cows come home. But that is why they came in this country, was to kill innocent men, women, and children. There was no purpose for them flying those planes into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon except for the fact to kill innocent people. Now, what the United States should have done was what they did in 1941 on December the 7th when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, killed more than 2,000 people. The next day, FDR gives his Day of Infamy speech, and we entered World War II. And you know what? For a while, we were losing. We get our butts kicked. But you know what? We turned the tide of that war, and we wiped the Japanese out. Now, it probably won't get that much resistance. If we go over there to them Muslim countries where they're harboring those terrorists, probably won't get as much resistance from the Islamists as we did from Japan, because Japan was pretty state of the art back then. They had some of the best fighter planes. They had the largest warship ever built. I think it was called the Yamato or something like that. And we came in there and we kicked butt. Yes, a lot of Americans did die. D-Day invasion. I think in one day, 80,000 Americans were killed, and we over here bellyaching over 5,000 that got killed on the war on terror. When in one day, many times that got killed in World War II. No one says anything about that. But we need to do to these terrorist countries what we did to Japan. Go in there and kick butt. I mean, back in World War II, they turned automobile assembly lines into assembly lines to make planes. The women got in on it, started making weapons and bombs and everything. The whole country came together. But now, split down the line.
Well, we can't go in there like this. You know, let's talk to them. Maybe if we talk to them, you know,
the only thing that they listen to is the bullet and the bomb. That's the only thing they're going to listen to. They don't want you to talk to them. You come up, Mr. Muslim terrorist, sir, you know, we know you're very angry at us and everything, and we just want to, you know, see if we can talk things over, you know. I mean, you know, I know you sent your planes over here, you killed some people and whatever, and, you know, we understand that we're the result of that, you know, and we just want to talk things over. You know what that rascal will do? He'll probably look at his little entourage, look back at you, say, death to the enemies of Allah. Boom, you're dead. that's the only thing that's the only language they know is the bullet and the bomb. So let's give them a lot of bullets and bombs. Let's give it to them.
Oh, I thought you were a Christian. Oh, my gosh. I thought you were a Christian.
Hey, folks, in the Bible, God had an army.
But that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. We're living in the New Testament. We're living in the age of love. Yeah, we are living in an age of love, where the terrorists love to kill people. Yep, you're right. We are definitely living in the age of love. We're living in an age of love today. Now, people in this country, when this country was founded, it was founded by men who believed in the inerrancy of the Bible. And you can say, you can take whatever you want. But these people believed in God. And because these people believed in God, that's how we got the statement, freedom of religion. You know why religions in this country have the freedom to do what they do? It's because of Christianity. We didn't say if you don't convert to Christianity, you cannot be a U.S. citizen. We didn't say that. We didn't say, oh, you're a Muslim? Let's round you up and put you in jail. Mm-mm. No. Freedom of religion. That's real Christianity, people. We don't go in and say, okay, if you don't convert to Christianity, we're going to cut your head off. That's not Christianity, people. It might be Islam, but it's not Christianity. And the gall of people like Rosie O'Donnell getting up and saying that fundamental Christianity is just as dangerous as fundamental Muslim. How? They are two fish in a different pond. I don't remember any Christians flying planes into buildings or setting bomb or walking into a crowd of people with bombs strapped to their bodies and killing a bunch of people, committing a suicide bombing. I don't remember that. I don't remember a Christian catching somebody and then laying their hand down and taking out a sword and cutting it off. I distinctly don't remember that. I don't remember Jesus even condoning any of that type of activity. I don't remember Jesus saying, well, if they don't convert to Christianity, if they don't believe what you say, kill them. I don't remember Jesus saying that. So why are you going to blame Christians for that type of stuff? And then going to have the gall to say that, you know, the Christians want to turn the U.S. into a theocracy. We don't want to turn this into a theocracy. But it's people like the ACLU, the NEA, and everybody coming in trying to flush the Christians out, trying to tell us to shut up so that they can bring out their religion, which is secular humanism, evolution, situation ethics, death education, anti-Bible bias, all that type of stuff. Where a child, if they bring their Bible to school, that child gets suspended. Two girls come to school during the Christmas season wearing red and green clothing and talking about Jesus, get suspended from school. I mean, what kind of nonsense are we living in this country now? And then we're going to have the audacity to say that Christians are trying to force us into a theocracy. That's what the secular humanists are doing, the evolution lovers, the ape lovers, as I call them, evolution. And they're trying to blame us for something that they're doing. Trying to run us out of the country. Now, y'all get back in the closet. We don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. We don't want to hear that stuff because, you know, some people get offended. Churches have to take down the Ten Commandments because someone got offended. Now, just the other day, I was listening to the radio, and in Denver, they were going to honor Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday with a lunch for the kids. And you know what was in the lunch? Lunch was fried chicken, collard greens, and was it sweet potato crisp or something like that? And one parent got mad, and so they said, okay, we're not going to do that. Now, given this is not the first time Denver has done this. This is not the first time. But you see the sensitive society we're living in? One person can make an argument, all of a sudden, it means that everybody has gotten offended. And we can come into
a school talking about Jesus and somebody gets offended, one person gets offended, and then they just cancel out everything for everybody else. That's what Madam Murray O'Hare did in the 60s. She said it was unconstitutional to pray. And nowhere in the Constitution does it say it's unconstitutional to pray. But you had some atheist judges, and yes, I'll call them atheist judges. Had some atheist judges that agreed with us, okay, we'll see it your way. And they took prayer out of schools. And now we got schools where girls can go and dance like Beyonce, and boys can wear skulls on their T-shirts and everything. But a child coming to school wearing a shirt that says abortion is wrong gets kicked out. Too controversial. That's too controversial. It's too controversial, you know. Too controversial. Nothing controversial about it. You just don't like the message. That's all. Just come out and say it. I mean, no one's going to beat you over the head. If you don't like the message, just come out and say it. Stop saying this, people are going to get offended. Nah, you are offended. Tell me the people who are going to get offended. It's too controversial. You know, we can't have stuff like that here because it's too controversial. Oh, no more controversial than teaching our little girls how to take the pill when we have to call their parents and we have to give them an aspirin, but we can give them a pill freely. That's not controversial. Or when we say, let's do some sensitivity training in the schools and let's teach the children that homosexuality is an alternate lifestyle. Oh, that's not controversial. You don't go straight is controversial. Now, if I was in school, now I remember reading this story about some school, and they just up one day and told all the girls to undress. They were going to give them an examination, told them to strip down. Didn't plan or anything, just came in and said, we want all the girls to strip down, we're going to examine it. Now, if I had been one of those parents, they would have carted me off to jail because somebody was going to get hurt. You don't do that to my kids without me knowing about it. Are you crazy? They just told them, strip down. We're going to examine you all. Took them into the health room. Told them, strip down. Now, if that had been me, if that had been one of my girls, they would have to get a new nurse into that health room because I was going to hurt somebody. And you can say, oh, I thought you were Christian and all that. No, you don't do that with my kids. You don't have my authority to do that. And you're going to do that with my children? Oh, no. But they can do that. But that's not controversial. What's controversial is when you talk about Jesus loves you. Or when you talk about thou shalt not. That's controversial. You know that Bible. That thing is controversial. We got to get rid of that Bible. Too controversial. But we can let our kids read things like Harry Potter. You know, we say the Bible is full of fairy tales, but Harry Potter is a fairy tale. Have our children read Harry Potter and Three Makes Tango, you know, about those so-called gay penguins, which turned out not to be gay. We can have them read stories like Heather Has Two Mommies, Daddy's Roommate. You know, stuff like that. Have our little girls read those books by Judy Blume. Oh, yeah, we can have them read all that stuff. But that Bible, oh, no. Why don't you just come out and say, you don't like the Bible? Why don't you just come out and say, I hate that Bible. I don't want it in here. Instead of this, it's against the law. Separation of church and state. Bonehead, show me separation of church and state in the Constitution. And you know what? I think this is the main reason why they're trying to dumb our children down in the public schools. Because when you got someone dumbed down and they don't know anything, you can tell them anything. I work in a Christian academy. here in Durham, North Carolina. I'm an assistant kindergarten teacher. They're about to move me to special education. And they say every one of those kids that come in from the public schools, they are behind. They're behind in their reading. You got kids in the second grade who don't know simple phonics. In the second grade. Can't read sat, mat, cat. Don't even know simple phonics. They should be past all that by second grade. I was sitting with this little girl one time, and she was in the second grade. Still sounding out. At. At. Girl, that's sat. She should already know how to read the word sat by the time she got in the second grade. But they say every child they get from the public schools, when they come into that Christian academy, they're already behind on reading. They're behind on comprehension. Why? Because it's the duty of the public schools to indoctrinate our children into this garbage, evolution, believing that we come from a monkey and a one-celled amoeba. It's indoctrination. And they're talking about separation of church and state, but they want to put their own religion into the school systems. Oh, it's not religion. We don't believe in God. You don't have to believe in God for it to be a religion. All you need is a doctrine and a set of beliefs. And that's what evolution, you know, evolution, secular humanism, mankind is the center. You can be your own God, all that crazy mess that has permeated our culture in different ways. And we can just sit there and talk about evolution like it's a matter of fact, you know, just 65 million years ago, the dinosaurs died out. And they taught that mess like they were there 65 million years ago. You ain't there no 65. How you know it was 65 million years ago? Well, you know, carbon dating and all this other dating methods and all that, they tell us the whole story. You know, and one thing that gets me is, you know, these rascals, you know, all they did was dig up some bones and everything. And all of a sudden, they know the creature's habits. They know its eyesight. They know how well it smelled. They know what it ate. They know when it was alive. How in the world you know that? How do you know? Were you back then? Were you back then when the Diplodocus was alive or something? Were you back then when the Tyrannosaurus Rex was alive? How do you know this stuff? And then they sit there and tell you that the birds you see flying out here, they were once dinosaurs. Now I would be ticked off. I would be one ticked off little birdie if I looked up on my family tree and saw that my great-great-great-great-great-great and so on granddaddy was a T-Rex that stood 20 feet tall, and I'm just a little sparrow who's about 4 inches tall. I would be one T-tall rascal, I'm a T. My great-great-granddaddy was a T-Rex, yeah, king of the jungle. And now I'm just a little birdie now, eating bugs. I mean, come on, people. There is no relationship between a bird and a lizard. But, you know, we push this stuff, and they say science backs it up, and they say that people who are Christians, they go against science. Y'all are against science. The Bible talks about those who call themselves, who know science, falsely so-called. But I understand science. Science is one of my favorite subjects. I love it. I love to go out to the woods and everything, you know, see the different little animals and stuff. I love science. But they say, you Christians are against science. Y'all want to believe in a sky fairy, someone you can't see. He's far away, but he's near. Who told you that mess? Where you get that from? What book did you read that in? He's far away, but he's so close. And you want to believe in a sky fairy. Well, it's no more ridiculous than you believing an ape turned into a man over a process of millions of years. And you don't have nothing to back it up. But history proved time and time again that evolution is false. Nebraska man. Give you a story on the Nebraska man. Someone finds a tooth in an excavation pit.
Oh, man, look at this tooth. Wow, oh, man.
They go back to the lab or whatever, and they construct an entire skeleton from that tooth. From that one tooth.
Yes, this is Nebraska Man. This is what he looked like. He walked upright, had to stoop over, you know, kind of like ape-like and everything. And his head was, his forehead was kind of big and everything.
So, you know, someone went back to that excavation site, and they found a match to that tooth that they had used, you know, to construct that skeleton. Turns out, yeah, the tooth was real. It was a genuine tooth. But guess what? It was a tooth of an extinct pig. But they constructed a whole skeleton from this tooth. Oh, well, that's just an anomaly. Oh, well, you know, some of these teeth, ugh, I was about to say tooths. Some of these teeth, they actually file them down, throw them in acid and everything, and make it look like they're old and say, wow, we have found this tooth. The Cardiff Giant back in the 1800s. They constructed this whole skeleton, and they call it the Cardiff Giant. And upon close examination, the Cardiff Giant was made out of a block of gypsum. Now, if you don't know what gypsum is it's a soft rock. You can easily scratch it with your fingernail. And it kind of looks kind of fibrous and everything, and you can carve it easily. Made out of a block of gypsum. Same thing with Peking Man, all these others. The Neanderthal skeleton, that turned out to be an old man who had died of arthritis. But we look at it, yes, we have the science to back it up. So tell me, how come we don't see evidence of evolution today?
Well, it's there, but you can't see it. You got to go to the cellular level.
Now, I got enough common sense to know that that thing does not, it doesn't have a, that theory does not have a toenail to stand on. It doesn't have a toenail to stand on because what is affected at the cellular level is also affected at the anatomical level. Case in point, and I've made this point before, Down syndrome. And I learned this in high school biology. Down syndrome. What causes Down syndrome? Anybody? Tell me. What causes Down syndrome? I'll tell you what causes Down syndrome. It comes from an extra 23rd chromosome. We all have 23 pairs of chromosomes. Down syndrome is caused by an extra 23rd chromosome. Now you can't see. You can't see this abnormality. You have to see it at the cellular level. But what is affected at the cellular level is affected on the anatomical level as well. Now, you see the results of Down syndrome. The children usually have mongoloid eyes, yellowish skin, they're kind of chubby. And they have certain little health problems that come along with Down syndrome. And I told this to one person before, you know, he said, you have to see it at the cellular level. The cellular level? What's affected at the cellular level is affected on the anatomical level as well. If you have the slightest abnormality in your cells, you're going to be able to see it on the outside. That blows holes into evolution, too. And besides, if evolution was true, why do we still have monkeys?
Well, it's divergence.
Well, explain divergence to me. Tell me what divergence is.
We come from a common ancestor.
Okay, so tell me what that common ancestor was.
Well, won't you just shut up? You're stupid. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, I won that argument.
No, yeah, okay. Bye. Okay. Mr. Stupid Man, okay. Go walk on, you know.
you Christians, y'all just against science. This is backed up by science. It has no science. There's no science behind evolution. No science whatsoever. Well, there's no science behind believing in a sky fairy either. No, no. There's no science behind the creation. Certainly isn't. There is no science behind the creation. You know why? Because the creation created science. If there was no creation, there would be no science. Hello? No, there's no... No, science does not back up the creation. It certainly doesn't. But you know what? The evidence is there, and it speaks for creation and against evolution. But, you know, of course, when you've been indoctrinated in these schools, in these government schools, I don't call them public schools, these government schools, you've been indoctrinated. They've pounded that mess in your head every day. When someone gives you this information, you think they're misguided. Where'd you get this information? You're the lunatic fringe. You are them Christians. Y'all believe in that mess. To me, it's not mess. To me, it's truth. But there's no ounce of truth to evolution. Well, you know, when Darwin went to the Galapagos Islands and he saw those different variations of finches, well, guess what, Rascal? They were still finches. Yes, some had short, stout beaks. Some had long, thin beaks. But guess what? They were still finches. They didn't turn into something else. They didn't turn into monitor lizards. They didn't turn into stingrays. They were still finches. They were still birds. It was variation within a species. Just like, what would you say that a chihuahua, a pit bull, a Rottweiler, and a Pekingese have in common? They're all dogs. Exactly. It's a variation within the species. As a matter of fact, we had that variation because of man, not because of nature. Man bred the poodle. He bred the pit bull. They have a common ancestor as well, but they did not evolve that way. Man bred different types to come up with the different species that we have today. They didn't evolve. And once again, I'm just ranting on and on. I know I'm just ranting on and on. But one thing that got me, you know, I had this National Geographic book about dolphins. And in there, they explained how dolphins used to live on land. And that somehow, you know, they grew, their limbs disappeared and everything, and now they're swimming in the ocean and all that. Now, the thing that gets me is that ancestor, that land ancestor to the dolphins, they tell you that rascal came out of the sea. So why in the world is a dolphin going to come out the ocean, walk on land, and say, wait a minute, you know, that ocean's looking pretty good. I think I'll evolve and go back to the ocean. I mean, it's funny, people. It's ridiculous. They say we all came out of the ocean, out of primordial soup. And so when you, you know, show the research that's gone into this, it says that, you know, we couldn't have just came out of nothing. Now you got some people really off in left field say, well, you know, we're really aliens from outer space. The bacteria really didn't exist on planet Earth. It came from Mars. And when that bacteria hit the organic soup and on Earth, it started to multiply. And then it started to evolve. And those people, they are really in left field. You know, we're aliens. We're really descendants of ancient astronauts. You know, people from other planets, they actually came. We are their descendants. And people have enough nerve to call me a nerd. I mean, come on. Go call me a geek. I mean, really? So
So, you know, while the soup was cooking on Earth, you know, Mars was chopping up the ingredients, you know, and everything. And then Mars just threw the ingredients into the soup, and, you know, we're all one big happy family now. I mean, come on, people. I mean, excuse me for laughing, but to me, it's funny. It's funny. I mean, I could just go all day on this stuff. It's real funny to me. It really is. It's humorous. But I only take the humor so far if it wasn't so serious at how it is corrupting our society today. So because we believe in evolution, we believe that, hey, who says stealing is wrong? Who says homosexuality is wrong? Who says pedophilia is wrong? Who says that pornography is wrong? We can make our own rules. Where did this God come from? God came from someone's imagination. They wanted to follow something, so they came up with God. Now, you see where I'm going with this evolution thing, people? If you believe in evolution, why do we have laws? Why do we have, and see, then you can start questioning right and wrong when you can believe in that evolution garbage. Who says this is wrong? Who says I can't kill somebody? Why do I have to go to jail for it? I mean, who says it's wrong? Tell me, who says it's wrong? And you can basically see where I am going with this stuff. Evolution, the doctrine of evolution, the doctrine of secular humanism does not have a toenail to stand on. It is false doctrine. It is erroneous teaching. It is venomous. It's venomous at the worst. And we've feeding that garbage to our children in these government schools because the government wants a crowd of slaves that bends to its will. And so when they have you programmed a certain way, when someone like me comes around, or someone like Wing Commander, shouting out to you, Wing Commander, someone like him comes around, we discredit them. Oh, they're the lunatic fringe. Where they get this information from? Oh, they believe in that sky fairy, that pie in the sky, the man upstairs, the big man, the big boss. No, he's no pie in the sky to me. He's not the man upstairs to me. He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is God, and he rules over everything. I was listening to this hymn not too long ago, about a couple of hours ago. I forgot the name of it. Fairest Lord Jesus. Ruler of all nature. That's who Jesus is to me. He ain't no pie, no sky, no sky fairy. Oh, you believe in that sky fairy thing. I don't believe in no sky fairy. I don't believe in fairies. As me, fairies are nothing but little demons.
Oh, Mr. Brown, you done corrupted my vision of Tinkerbell.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
But we think it's all right for our children to color pictures of monsters and witches and warlocks and everything. But we won't let them color pictures of Moses and Jesus. We think it's all right for our children to go and see these slasher movies. Friday the 13th, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street. But we balk at them when they talk about watching the Ten Commandments or the Passion of the Christ or Ben-Hur. We beat them down because they want to read the Bible, but we encourage them to read Harry Potter. Double standard, people. That's how I started the show. Double standard. Double standard. Allowing one person's point of view to come forth, but suppressing the other's point of view. That's what your major networks do, ABC, CBS, CNN, all them. That's why they're so hard on Fox, because Fox allows both opinions to be heard. That allows both points of view to be heard. But see, the reason why people are so against Fox is because the liberals, they don't want another person's point of view to be heard. They don't like debate, because whenever you debate with a liberal with the facts, they have no answer for you. That's why they go off into their tangent of cussing you out and insults and character assassinations, because they don't have an answer for you. They don't want debate. They want to suppress all debate because they want to feel good in their program diluted mode of thinking. That's why they want to, silence Christians and conservatives and Republicans, because they don't follow their point of view. Now, let me tell you something. A liberal is a person who only thinks that his point of view is the only one that needs to be heard. A conservative will allow both sides to be heard. Conservatives, for the most part, there are some that are biased, don't get me wrong, but for the most part, they want to hear both sides of the story. John Stossel, who just recently went to Fox News, Fox Business, or I forget the name of the channel. John Stossel used to be on ABC News with the Give Me a Break segment. He left ABC because they wouldn't allow him to do what he really wanted to do. And that's why he's at Fox now, because ABC only has a certain mode of thinking. And now John Stossel is not a conservative, and he's not a liberal. He's a libertarian. But he says when he has had discussions with liberals and conservatives, liberals didn't want to hear his point of view. They only wanted to hear their own. But he said when he talked to conservatives, conservatives sat down and listened. They might not always agree, but they sat down and listened. See, liberals don't want to hear what you got to say. If it doesn't fall along the lines of their point of view, they don't want to hear you. They'll just as soon dismiss you as a lunatic than to listen to a cotton-picking thing that you got to say. They don't want to hear what you got to say. And that's the problem people have with Fox News. They say stupid people watch Fox News. Well, we got a lot of stupid people in this country because Fox News and beating all the other networks out. MSNBC is like, oh my gosh, where are our viewers? They're over there watching Fox because they're getting informed. They want to see both sides of the story so that they can come up with their own point of view. But the liberals only want you to believe their point of view. Hello, people. They only want you to hear their point of view. If you call yourself a liberal, watch your reaction when someone comes with a different point of view than what you believe. Watch your reaction. I got a cousin in Winston-Salem. You know, he and I had a little spat a few months ago and everything because I didn't agree with him. And he called me a self-righteous, self-hating racist. Now, I've known this rascal since we were toddlers, and he knows me better than that. But because I did not agree with his convoluted way of thinking, oh, all of a sudden I'm a racist. Because I agree with Rush Limbaugh, I'm a racist. Because I agree with Jesse Helm, I'm a racist. Because I agree with Ann Coulter, I'm a racist. Because I agree with Sarah Palin, I'm a racist. And then you got these black people out here. How in the world can you be black and you can listen to people like Sarah Palin? She's a white lady. So? I'm a black man. Hey. Now that's a thought. Now see, one thing people don't realize about me is I give a flip. I don't give a flip about how black you are, how white you are. All I want to know is, are you bringing the truth? I don't care how black you are. Don't tell me I'm supposed to believe a certain way because I'm black. And I tell you, almost every time I get on this program, I tell you, I am a free-thinking black man. Free-thinking black man. Okay, I'm looking at my, let's see if I can get this caller on here right quick. Let's see. Caller. Oh, wait a minute. It says it's muted. because I got a caller right here. I can't pull my caller up. Hello, caller.
Yeah, hi. This is Nico Moon.
How you doing? Where you calling from?
Prescott, Arizona.
Oh, wow. Arizona.
Land of the free and home of the brave.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about.
Where seldom is heard a discouraging word. But the skies are cloudy today.
See, I might have to make me a trip to Arizona because I've never been in a desert. I would just like to see what that's like.
Oh, I live on the moon. And you know where I just moved from? Durham, North Carolina.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I wish I knew you were there when I was there. I didn't have anybody to hang out with.
How long ago did you leave Durham?
In May.
Oh, you left this May. Oh, okay. Which part of Durham?
Well, I originally lived over off of 98 in Grove Park. I don't know if you know where that is.
Okay, yeah,
and then I moved over closer to Duke 15501 area.
Okay, yeah, that's about where I live right now, right there, L Square and all that. Okay, well, hey, what can I do you for?
Well, you're obviously not reading the chat room because this has been such a riot. I was just, you know how you're talking about liberals, you try to have a conversation with them, and if you don't agree with them, instantly you're a moron, a racist, nobody needs to listen to you, you need to be shut off, you need to be insulted, laughed at, and shunned. You know that, right? Well, that just happened to me in the chat room.
Well, you know what? I was looking at the chat room. I was basically just going, you know, kind of skimming through it. But I got off into a rant so much that, you know, I really didn't look at it in detail.
Right. You know, I know. But see, my issue here, like these guys are, their response to my comments is so typical of people who just refuse to have a reasonable debate or discussion about anything. It's my way or the highway. And as you said, conservatives do it as well as liberals. And as far as I'm concerned, this is the worst possible circumstance that's happening in our country right now. You know, we cannot have productive debate.
Yeah.
That's what our founders wanted. Our founders wanted that. And, you know, it's so good, like, we're starting to be able to break through the racial lines and have these conversations that we need to have without all this ridiculousness. You know, we're starting.
Yeah.
But how are we, you know, I mean, what's, you're a smart man. What is the solution to this situation? Oh, now I'm crying. This is my favorite. Now I'm a baby. I'm a crybaby because I called up and I'm talking about this. According to Dark Prince. Wah. I hope she calls us. I mean, that's another one. Is that a liberal tactic or not?
Exactly. And you know what? They think because they insult you, they think they won the argument. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I won that argument. I just totally won that argument. But you didn't say anything. I mean, what are you bringing to the table? Bring me some truth to the table. Not something that you know, somebody told you. I mean, bring me some truth.
Right, and I mean, then they start. You know, now he's saying it's like I called him closed-minded and a hypocrite right off the bat. Never happened. But anyway, yeah. I mean, it's that is exactly right. Bring the truth. You know, if we could learn to stick to the truth instead of these, you know, our chosen beliefs. I read a quote the other day in a book, and it was something like, "We spend our lives believing what we want to believe and what we need to believe. And then we learn to address the truth, and that's when we become... No, then we learn to address reality, and that's when we become adults." And I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, that's a good quote. I like that, you know.
Yeah.
And see, now, the thing about me, though, I'm the worst of the worst. I'm the scum at the top of the pond because I'm a black man who has conservative values. You
know? God
black
bless you, man.
You are just way you need to be caught, taken into the woods. You need to be reprogrammed or something like that because, you know, and I tell people, this has nothing to do with me trying to be white. Has nothing at all to do with, I'm just a free-thinking black man. And I say that on every show. I'm just a free-thinking black man. I'm attracted to the truth. And I tell people, don't think because I'm black, I'm supposed to think like you think. You know, I'm attracted to the truth. And if you're saying a bunch of mess and everything, I don't care if you're black or white or whatever. I'm going to tell you that's wrong. That's a lie. What you were saying. And you know, and I get into it with them black brothers, like the black Muslims. There was some people from a radio program here on Blog Talk Radio called Hood to Hood. You know, they called me a nigger and all that and everything. Oh, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't have said nigger. I'm talking to a white woman. But anyway,
I grew up in Philly. I lived in Durham, but I grew up in Philly in the inner city. So I don't know.
You know, so,
you could say anything in front of me. I have heard it all.
You know, but you know, I'm not supposed to say the word nigger when a white person is around because you know that's what they use to keep us.
Oh right.
We're keeping ourselves down when we refer to each other by that word. I have more people. I say 99% of people who have called me nigger were black.
Well, what do they think? We never saw Chris Rock. I mean, you know, I mean, you know, I hear it. I've been hearing black people call each other that forever. To me, it's the point where the word, we have to say, okay, let's just agree the word doesn't have the same meaning it used to have anymore. And
yeah.
It's just another low-level cuss word, you know, that
yeah.
people use at each other because I can't accept, I'm not going to say, oh, I can't say that word because I'm white, but black people can say it. I can't go with that at all. I'd rather not anybody say it.
I can't go with it either, you know, and you know, I don't get offended when I hear that, you know, but, you know, I mean, let's just toss the word out. Let's just say, you know, let's not refer to anybody by that name, you know, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's hypocrisy does not, you know, there's so much hypocrisy right now. That's what I was trying to point out to these guys in the chat room, you know, that hypocrisy is epidemic in this country right now on all sides. It's okay for Christians to demand the right to pray in school, but it's not okay for Muslims to demand the right to pray in school. The point is nobody should be praying in school. Nobody should be publicly practicing any religion in a public school. I mean, you know, I'd like to know, on the prayer issue, school prayer issue, I'd like to know who could stop somebody from praying. You know, to me it's just a big joke.
I put it like this, if a person wants to pray in school, let them go ahead. I don't care if you're Muslim, Buddhist, or whatever, but they shouldn't say, okay, well, we're going to have a mat for the Muslims so they can point east to Mecca and they can pray, and a child wants to say grace over their food. We can't allow that. You know, if they want to pray, go ahead. And if you don't want to pray, then don't worry about it. No one's trying to beat you over the head to pray. You know,
right.
I mean, I want to say grace over my food. That's my business because I'm a Christian, and that's what I want to do. But, you know, don't give provision to everybody else and look the other way and then say that, okay, well, you got your Bible and everything, so that's offensive. You know, that's offensive. We can't have that Bible in here. You know, I mean.
Yeah, okay, but I want to talk about that because Christians are very opposed to people, you know, saying, you know, don't bring your Bible into school. It's offensive, but what Christian is endorsing, and I'm not defending this, Muslims, who wants to see the Quran in schools? I'm very much opposed to, you know, to this situation that's occurring where Muslims are being, you know, made given special privileges to practice their faith, and Christians are not. Nobody should. That's why our founders understood you got to keep these things out of the public. Out of public venues. When taxpayer money is involved, keep it private, you know, and I agree with that.
You know,
what do you think about it?
Like I say, now, I teach in a Christian school here in Durham. You may have heard of it, Mount Zion Christian Academy. And I've been an assistant kindergarten teacher, but they're going to move me on to some special education. And basically, you know, every morning we have the kids, they get up, we do our scriptures and everything, say the pledge to the flag, you know, stuff like that. And this is stuff that's disappearing in the public schools. You know, they don't want to say the pledge to the flag because of the part where it says one nation under God. I mean, why is it more offensive? You know, I mean, if you don't believe in that, then don't participate. You know, no one's going to beat you dead. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I mean, it can get to the point of the absurd. You know, you can't use the word God. And I even agree with the notion of teaching about the different religions in school because they're cultural issues. Even for people who don't believe in any religion, the fact is that religion is a profound influence in this world. And why shouldn't kids? I took my daughter to every kind of church that I could find. I wanted her to know, this is what different people believe, you know, and I think that was a good thing for her. And then she gets to sort through it herself, you know, and decide what makes sense to her, and you know what resonates with her. But I wanted her to understand that, you know, we don't just go to one church and believe. Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't just go to one church and believe that everybody else's beliefs are bullshit. Excuse me, but you know, because the bottom line is, everybody has, you know, the right to believe as they want to in this country. And it's practicing in public. It's when you're putting other people in a position where, you know, they have to succumb to your beliefs or be in some way punished. That's where we get into the public issue of, you know, of religion.
I'm totally against that because, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'm a born-again Christian, and people say things that, you know, you Christians are trying to force us. Well, if a person is calling themselves a Christian and they're trying to force you to believe like they do, that person is not a Christian. Because if you go into the Bible, Jesus said if that person doesn't accept you, then you're supposed to shake the dust off your feet and go to somebody else. You know, I mean, you're going to get rejected, you know. But to force a person to believe like you do, that's not Christian. And I try to tell this to a lot of people. They say, well, in history, Christians did. Those people were not Christians. They may have talked about God. They may have talked about Jesus and all that and everything. But those people were not Christians. You know, they might have talked about, you know, yes, we believe in Jesus the Father and all that and everything. But what shows what you really are is by your actions. You can, you know, you can talk is cheaper than dirt. But by your actions, that's how we're going to know you, you know. And what's in your heart show up on the outside. You know, and I tell people, you know, Christians had nothing to do with that. Those were not Christians. Those were people who said they were Christians, you know, but they were not Christians. Because I can stand in an airplane hangar, and I can call myself an airplane, but does that make me an airplane? No, it doesn't.
But on the other side of that, though, is that I've heard Muslims say the same thing. That, you know, I think this conversation actually got started in the chat room by somebody talking about Muslims. There's no such thing as a moderate Muslim because the Muslims will not stand, quote, moderate Muslims will not stand up against the fundamentalists. And I totally agree with that. I absolutely 100% agree with that. And, you know, but those moderate Muslims use the excuse, well, those fundamentalists are not really Muslims. And, you know, that's what, when we're fighting this, you know, the battle of the Christian, you know, the Christian presence in public venues, and Christians are, you know, upset about the removal of creches and from public property and all of which I don't agree with. But from a, you know, strictly constitutional perspective, if we're going to get into the argument about it, you can't say some people are, you know, those people aren't Christian because they don't agree with this or they don't agree with that. You know what I'm saying? It's hypocritical to accuse the Muslims of doing the same thing that a lot of Christians do. You know, they are not, you know, just say, okay, well, if I don't agree with another Christian, then they're not a Christian. And then who gets to decide who's a Christian and who's not, or who's a Muslim and who's not?
Yeah.
That's my question about that.
Yeah, I tell people, if you want to find out what it is to be a Christian, go to the Bible. And I know a lot of people, they're like, well, that Bible has been tainted. And if they will read the Bible, they will see that the Bible is not prejudiced at all. It's not prejudiced at all. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, my so-called black brothers, they say, well, the Bible is white man's religion. And I would ask them and say, well, show me in the Bible where it says that it is white man's religion. You know, and they say that this was forced on the slaves and everything. The Bible was not forced on the slaves. They didn't want the slaves to learn how to read because if they got a hold of that Bible, slavery was done for. And but you know what? It happened. And, you know, I really do believe that Christianity, you know, biblical Christianity, did away with slavery. Because I look up and I listen to these people talk, I say, well, where were the black Muslims back during the times of slavery? Where were these Rastafarians and all back then?
Hey, listen, you know where they were? They were on the slave ships helping to sell the slaves, you know. I mean,
they
Islamic religions are, I mean, you know the Bible well enough, the Old Testament well enough to know that, you know, where Islam came from. I mean, you know, these are, they all came from Abraham and Isaac, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I forget, but they all go back, all the way back to the Old Testament, and if that's, you know, if it's a white man's religion, then so is Islam. It's a ridiculous argument.
Exactly. It's very ridiculous. And just for, just as an aside, if any of you out there are black Muslim, you know, check out the origins of the black Muslims. The black Muslims were started by a white man.
In this country. Did. You mean the black Muslims in this country?
The black Muslims in this country, they were started by a white man. Now, that man disappeared. They don't know what happened to him. But it was started by a white man.
That's not a surprise.
Now, that's history.
Right.
You know,
I mean, how is that a surprise? You know, you have social engineering going on in this country from the beginning of time, and so many things are not what they really appear to be. And that's really my point, is that we really have to learn how to, where we get our beliefs, what's the basis of those beliefs, and how can we defend them? Because if a belief is sound and based on something sound, then you can argue and debate that belief without having to call people morons, idiots, things, and its. These guys in this chat room are calling me it. Maybe it. Well, you know, I mean, how degrading, and now they have to dehumanize me, and they're defending Christianity on the other side of their mouth. I say they're hypocrites, and I wonder if you disagree with me about that.
Well, if anybody is saying they are a Christian, but they disagree with anything that's being that goes along with Christianity, yes, I say those people are hypocrites. You know.
Right.
Christianity,
I mean, you're arguing Christianity, you know, the superiority. These guys are telling me Christianity is fundamentally good. Other religions are fundamentally evil. And I'm basically just saying to them, that's what they believe, too. They believe the same thing you believe, so I don't really see how any of this is productive. But then, in order to win the argument, they're calling me names, they're putting me down, they're dehumanizing, trying to dehumanize me. Does that kind of reflect badly back on Christians at all? Does that make me really want to, like, you know, take up the Christian banner here? But I am a Christian, by the way. I mean, you know. I'm not a fundamentalist Christian.
And I'm looking at this statement by Iron Fist in the chat room. It says, the Bible says slaves obey your masters. No, it doesn't. It says servants obey your masters.
Right.
Servant, not slaves. It says servants. You know, and people use that argument. They say, well, you know, the Bible supports slavery. No, it doesn't. You know, it says servants.
Right.
No,
but see, that's interpretation, and we could argue that until
yeah.
So he's quoting Colossians 3:22, but this was translated, you know. I mean, you can't say you need a real linguist to argue that, and these are ancient scripts and ancient languages. It's a pretty tough argument to make. So we can't. I don't see the point of putting yourself up in a discussion like that to say I know I'm right and you're wrong, because nobody can prove their point really in any valid way.
Well,
what you,
I'm glad you called. I'm going to have to cut it short because I only got 10. And
well,
I really
nice meeting you.
Okay.
Yep, what's your name? I don't even know your name.
Vincent Brown.
Vincent, nice to meet you, Vincent.
Okay.
Sorry I didn't know you in Durham.
Okay. Nice to
Bye.
Meet you, too. All righty. Okay, well, people, that's the end of my show. And before I end, I just want to tell you all, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it would be good. Today would be a good time to get to know him. So if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Would it be in eternity with God, or would it be in hell, separated from God? The choice is yours. I can't make that choice for you. I'm not judging or anything like that. But, you know, I'm going to sign this off, but just give you that little bit to think about. I'm Vincent E. Brown, and until the next time, I'll see you on The Rebound.
Lift to him a song.